You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, listen, I am pleased to bring on someone who I got to know at a conference up in D.C. Really appreciated him and getting to know him and enjoy having his company on the line here with us, Mike Russell. He's a longtime political operative and analyst based just outside of D.C. up there in the Beltway area. Mike's been in Washington, D.C., working in politics and public policy, media, public relations, all that since like the late 90s. And prior to that, during the 94 and 96 election years, he was really committed to working to help get evangelical Christians and other people of faith more involved in politics. And like I told you earlier, he's also got a lot of years of his own working in broadcast journalism in both radio and television. So without further ado, Mike Russell, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil. Good to be back on the program, my friend, and always good to be talking to the wonderful folks in Alabama.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you so much for making time. I know it's Friday afternoon and you're an hour ahead of us, so you could be headed to the house right now, but instead you're talking to us, so thank you very much.
Oh, sure.
Well, listen, Mike, I want to get your perspective. You see things from the macro, and sometimes we do here, but we've also got our own races. I mean, I've been interviewing U.S. Senate candidates just for Alabama. The governor's race is a big deal in Alabama. We got a lot going on here that is our typical focus, but from the macro level, how are the midterms shaping up right now? What are you seeing from your perspective up there in the D.C. area?
Again, Phil, really great to be on the program, and I'm wishing you the best of luck and success on this show. Yeah, it's a really interesting situation in terms of how this midterm election is shaping up. I want to talk about real quickly this Monmouth University survey that came out just yesterday. I don't know if you've had a chance to relay any of this with your listeners, but Monmouth University is a top 25 private college in New Jersey, and they have done political polling for decades. They're very well respected. And they came out with a survey just yesterday that showed President Biden's approval rating at 38%. And most of the liberal surveys are trying to keep them around 45 to maintain some semblance of credibility, but the Monmouth survey has him at 38% approval and 57% disapproval. And that's not even the worst news, Phil. In this survey, it said 80% of the American people, 80% feel the nation's headed in the wrong direction, on the wrong track. So when you have three out of every four voters saying that we are in serious trouble in terms of the direction and the policies that are moving this country in a certain direction, when you have 80% of the American people saying that's the wrong direction, the wrong way to go, that's a set of political optics that I don't think I've ever seen in Washington. That's almost impossible ground to recover between now and a November election. And there's two other stats here. I don't want to overwhelm everybody with stats and figures, but two other quick stats here in this Monmouth survey that I think are very, very significant and very telling. More than 50% of the American people are saying that they are having a serious problem paying for gasoline and for groceries, food and fuel.
Oh, yeah.
Food and fuel are not luxury items. They are necessities. And when half of the American people are struggling to just get a gas, you know, a truck filled up, their farm equipment filled up, or food on the table, then they're going to hold some people accountable, and it's going to be the Biden administration. Now, the other thing that happened this week is the president came out and tried to blame inflation on the pandemic and supply chain issues.
Yeah.
And I'm just, as someone who's studied messaging and how politicians craft messages and try to deliver to them the American people, I was astounded by that, because it doesn't take an economist, because I'm not an economist, but it doesn't take an economist to realize that a disruption in supply chain is going to affect gross national product. Sure, it's going to affect our ability to produce goods and services. But that doesn't necessarily translate to inflation. And to blame it on the pandemic, I just think is, I mean, you're running out of straws to grasp at.
Well, I look at this mic and I look at this mic and I think, and you're a messaging guy, and I want to hear how you think all those numbers and stats and sentiments translate into the midterms too. But I would say this though, I have seen the most inept level of messaging out of this would be the White House. This is supposed to be like where the ultimate in messaging takes place. This is the place where people like press secretaries go on to grand careers afterwards because they've had the pinnacle of the marketing world at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm seeing zero level of competent messaging coming out of that White House right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and in addition to the president blaming the inflation on the pandemic, U.S. News came out with a story and said, they're pulling out pages from old campaign playbooks. They're trying to scare seniors now. They're saying, well, if you vote Republican, then they're going to attack Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and they're trying that old retread tire, and that's not going to go anywhere. Now, where they're really going to hit, I think, and they're already doing this, is they're trying to scare people on the abortion issue. But I don't believe, and I'm a conservative, obviously, but I don't believe they're going to get much traction on that. Here's why. The Supreme Court is debating the Dobbs legislation, which came out of Mississippi, which restricts or prevents abortion after 15 weeks. That is about the biggest definition of common sense legislation that you could do in terms of having a piece of legislation for the Supreme Court to review that is not extreme. Now, they're trying to portray it as extreme. They're trying to scare people on this. But, presently, our abortion policies are in line with countries like China and Korea. And the Dobbs legislation out of Mississippi is in keeping with, most of the countries in Europe. Most of the countries in Europe have similar restrictions.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that the Democrats are going to be able to scoop up a lot of independent or apolitical voters on this issue. They're going to be able to play to their base and probably get them enthused to try to help turnout. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to turn this tide of overwhelming wrong direction sentiment that the majority of the American people feel.
All right. So you got the sentiment, you've got the stats. How do you feel like the midterm? I mean, last time we were on together, you came on the show, you said that the Republican conference of both House and Senate had nailed down a number of races that they believed were in play. How are we looking
right now?
What do you think is going to happen in the midterm? We going to take back the House and Senate?
Well, I strongly believe the House is gone for the Democrats. I mean, we need 9 or 10 seats to pick that up and maintain and reclaim the majority. The Republican Congressional Committee has listed more than 70 seats in play, 70 seats that they feel they could flip.
Wow.
To possible Republican hold. So, Phil, if the election were held today, I would say the Republicans conservatively would pick up 25, 30 seats in a landslide, almost double that. Because we have to remember, when President Obama was in office and he was a beloved president from Democrat supporters, he lost 60 seats, House seats, during his two terms. Obama lost 60 House seats. So, to think that Biden is going to hold on to the House and maintain a majority is just nonsense. There's no way. Now, the Senate, there are some good candidates who are emerging. There's a rating organization called Inside Elections here in Washington, and they rate Georgia as leaning Democrat. But Herschel Walker is the GOP candidate in Georgia for Senate, and he's a fine young man. Now, I always question how celebrities and athletes run as candidates because sometimes they don't have the best organized campaign, but he has a chance. So I don't necessarily agree that Georgia's Democrat state. And Nevada, you've got Adam Laxalt there who comes from a longtime Republican family and is well-liked. So he has a chance in Nevada, and that, according to political analysts, that state is still leaning Democrat. But there are two chances there. Pennsylvania, you have a really terrific candidate emerging, an African-American woman, pro-life, Kathy Barnett. And she's running a really, really good campaign. She's surging in the polls, So she may end up winning the GOP primary in Pennsylvania. But you have Dr. Oz and David McCormick. Those are two Republicans. If anybody wins in Pennsylvania, I think they have a shot of flipping that that seat. So I think we've got a chance. It's more difficult in Senate races because voters have a greater allegiance to the people who occupy the Senate seats, no matter what their party affiliation is. You kind of have a tendency to know your senators better than your House members, and so there's a little bit more of an emotional appeal, and incumbent senators are difficult to unseat. So I think we do have a chance. The House, for sure, and with this, with these just bone-crushing numbers on how the American people view the direction of this country, there comes a tipping point for a party where it's almost as if the gravity of what that party is trying to do as a national party starts to drag everybody down. And I don't know if we're at that tipping point yet, but we're close in terms of really starting to see a full-scale drag on all Democrat candidates.
Hey, Mike, let me jump in here real quick and tell you, we got to take a break. I'd like to get your perspective on a few things like how Trump endorsements are playing out. But if you can hang on with us through about a 3 or 4 minute break, we'll come back and wrap this segment up, because you definitely have insights on things that are bigger than what we can see just from right here in our more narrow perspective at the state level. So let's do that. Mike Russell, got the kind of the big macro, I live around the Beltway kind of perspective, but he's also able to break it all down where we can hear it. We'll get right back with him right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, yes, just plain right. So we're going back to the phones now with my friend Mike Russell. Mike has been working in and around politics in various capacities for quite some time, sees things from the D.C. area that kind of look across the entire nation, wanted to get his perspective, and so we've been talking about that for the last 20 minutes. Hey, Mike, let me ask you this. First of all, and we got about 4 or 5 minutes here, are the Trump endorsements, in your opinion, are they carrying weight all the way across the board? And I know he's had good success so far, but what's your perspective on some of the endorsements still yet to go to the polls?
Well, I think the short answer on that, Phil, is yes. The Trump endorsements are, the media will always glom. Here's the basic fundamental mistake, real quickly, I think the Democrats are making, is they're not running a campaign that promotes any vision. They're not running any kind of campaign or messaging that is for something. And we saw Romney do this when he was running for the presidency, where he didn't offer any vision. He just ran against President Obama by saying, I'm more qualified than him and you need me. But there was no real vision or any major message of where we're going to take the country with his campaign. And so what's happening here is the Democrats are lashing out at anybody who's a quote unquote Trump Republican, saying, they're attaching all kinds of negatives to that. And they're going to try and scare people based on the fact that so-and-so candidate, Vance in Ohio, for example, he's a good candidate and he'll probably do well. We might even pick up that, might win that election. But they're going to try to demagogue him as you're a Trump endorsement and therefore automatically a negative. And I just don't think that's going to fly. As I said earlier, we're at a tipping point here when half the American people are struggling to fill their trucks up with gasoline or get food on the table. They're going to look at people who have a vision, and they're going to look at people who are going to say, I'm going to go to Washington and I'm going to turn this stuff around. And that's, I think, what's going to be the winning message for Republicans.
Well, and I agree. Now we're in the unique position here in Alabama. We have the only statewide candidate, Mo Brooks, who has been unendorsed by Trump, and he saw an immediate hit in the polls, although he has been surging back since that time and may well wind up in the runoff at this point for the U.S. Senate race, because there is going to be a runoff. But let me ask you this. So speaking of Mo Brooks, we all know where his conservative voting record is. What are you seeing in the big picture with about 2 or 3 minutes left here, Mike? What are you seeing in the big picture with the style of candidate that may be prevailing? Is there a trend, like when we had the Tea Party wave back in 2010, is there a trend towards what I would call the Freedom Caucus style of a candidate in the legislative races? Or is it establishment candidates? Or what are you seeing a fair mix across the board? What do you think?
I definitely think for House races, Phil, that Freedom Caucus candidate is emerging as a strong type of model. I think Alabama is, it's not exclusive to Alabama. I think a good number of voters in a number of states are fed up with a lot of these liberal policies. And I'll talk about two areas real quickly, crime and education. The Democrats are put in a, you know, we saw a Democrat candidate lose the governor's race here in Virginia because he basically came out and said parents really don't need to be involved in their kids' education.
Right.
The second that he said that, the second that Terry McAuliffe said that, you could hear the air going out of his campaign. And Glenn Youngkin won the governor's race in Virginia, is going to be a good Republican governor, and probably will have at some point national political aspirations. I hope so. So the Democrats are way out over their skis on education, saying parents don't need to be involved. And this whole ridiculous notion of defunding police and having liberal prosecutors in key positions to let criminals go once they're arrested is backfiring so badly that even Democrat mayors now are saying this is nonsense. We have to protect our people, and we have to properly fund police departments. So it's not exclusive to Alabama. I think a Freedom Caucus kind of candidate can emerge, certainly for House races. You have to be a little bit more statesmanlike and a little bit more of a wide net caster for the U.S. Senate, but you can still have good conservative credentials and still win office without any trouble, in my view.
Well, Mike, that's some cogent analysis, my friend. I certainly appreciate you making time on a Friday afternoon to be with us here on Right Side Radio. And I got your number. I'm going to keep you on speed dial here for the next short while. How about that?
I'm happy to, Phil. It's a, you know, it's a great opportunity to catch up with you again, and I'm just happy to be part of the show.
All right, man. Take care. Have a great weekend. Folks, that was Mike Russell. Been doing a lot of politically active work in and around the Beltway, across the nation, in conservative causes, conservative candidacies, conservative marketing, and also had a background in radio himself. Good to have folks like that on tap. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going to shift gears in the triple dipper, going next to the number two. I call it Trolling the Trolls. This one's a little more lighthearted. You'll probably enjoy it. We'll be right back.